Many of you know that I'm a drywall contractor, and here recently, about a week and a half ago, I had one of my general contractors that we do quite a bit of work for has a building that they're going to construct in the near future. And they asked me to help them put together a budget for this building. So they gave me a set of plans and a spec book, which is normal. But this set of plans and this spec book also have a little disclaimer on the front. They say 60%. Now 60% means that you get the vision. You know there's a building. It's going to be on this particular lot. It's going to be four or five stories. This one's going to be about a five-story building. And then they have little circles. And then if you're familiar with prints, you get a set of architectural, you get a set with that comes the electrical, the plumbing, the HVAC, the structurals, which tell you what everything's going to be as far as if it's a steel building, a concrete building, what's going to be the structure and the foundation. It's all there. And then they give you little details, like if you get up on the top, the outside of the building, there will be a cornice. Well, they have a detail, and you see that detail on sheet A5.5, detail 16. Well, with 60% of the prints, you go back, and sometimes you find that sheet A5.5, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes, if you do have that sheet, there might only be detail 1, or 2, or 3. You won't have all the way up to detail 16. So it's still a vision, but they give you enough information that hopefully that you'll be able to come back and your portion of that work that you're going to do, you'll be able to give them a price that they're going to be able to go and put their budgets together, go to the bank, and get their loan already approved, so when the construction of this building actually comes out with the full set of plans, then they're ready to go. Well, sometimes those plans give you enough details and there's enough information that you're close, and that's what they want you to be. If anything, they'd rather you don't need to be too high, but they'd rather have you a little bit fat originally, because they are going to bid the project out. It's just not a you give them a number and it's yours. So, I mean, this is a budget number. So, but you're working off a vision. You're working off of something that's not totally complete, but you have the basics. A lot of what we have in the Bible in prophecy is yet a vision. We've got basics. We've got certain things from the foundation through the structure to the inside that it's going to happen. But we don't have all those little details to tell us the time, to tell us all the events that are going to lead up to what this day pictures, and that's Christ's return. Today, I want to look at that vision because that's a core part of us as we sit here today, as we look forward to the very fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. Proverbs mentions that without vision, the people perish. We need to keep that vision alive in us and in our mind. And I had to ask myself, how often do I personally think of Christ's return? Do I long for it? Is that something that when I get up every day, ask for his return, that I look forward to it? Or do I get up and I think, okay, I got 20 guys to get lined out this morning and they need to be, here, here, and here, and somebody called and he's upset because he didn't get a guy yesterday, so now I have to figure out how to get, somebody on that particular job. You know, these are the things that I start out with in the morning in my mind, is what I didn't get covered yesterday, and I mean, it just starts racing at times in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning or 3. It pops into my head, oh, I forgot something, I got to get that covered tomorrow. And then you worry about it because you don't have somebody to put on it. So, I mean, these things our lives kind of take over and envelop us, and we don't always think of the vision of the future. We think of now and here, and how am I going to get through this day and tomorrow. But we need to continually make this more and more a part of us, especially as the end of the age approaches. When is that time? I don't know. God the Father knows, and He has not given that or revealed that. He has just told us that that will happen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. If Jesus Christ had not come down to this earth and lived a sinless life and paid the penalty for death, the very fact that He came would not mean anything to us. He had to be raised from the dead. And that is our hope. That is one thing that we look forward to. And this day pictures the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And then we will be a part of that resurrection. And that's what we look forward to. Adam made a choice at the beginning of the age that we live in. He chose for mankind to discern good and evil. In other words, he took that responsibility on himself, and he passed up the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that gave us eternal life. And sometimes I wonder what would have happened. Eternal life would have been the destiny of mankind versus death. Adam chose that for us. And mankind then had to have a Savior. Jesus Christ had to come and pay that price and then be raised from the dead. And God did that so that we would see and know and understand more and a part of His plan. Let's go to 2 Peter now, the 3rd chapter. Jesus Christ came preaching the world tomorrow. He instilled that vision in His apostles and His disciples that followed Him. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verse 8. There is no 4, verse 8. Oh, I said, I'm in Peter, not Timothy. Excuse me. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. There's a little difference between Timothy and Peter. Second Timothy 4, verse 8. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Well, that's not right. my computer program, my Bible program, didn't come up today. It was, I downloaded some information off the internet, some upgrades, and one thing I lost was my Bible program. So I didn't get through and check some of these. Okay, excuse me. I was looking at a different. Thank you, Mike. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Part of the New Testament church was to keep alive the vision of the resurrection of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to 2 Peter, the third chapter. Anybody need new reading glasses? Is my problem here. 2 Peter, the third chapter, and verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. It says that we are to look forward to it, to the hastening of the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ will return. We need to make sure that we keep that vision in our minds. Go to Matthew 24 and verse 22 now. Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. We see that God is involved. He knows the time to send back his Son, Jesus Christ. He's not going to let this world destroy itself. We could look around this world and we can see the natural destruction that happens from just the elements. We also see the evil that is in this world. And I see, personally, in my own life, as I look out around this world, I see more and more evil. As the United States of America, we are working at fighting terrorism. How do you fight somebody that is already planning on dying when he walks in the door, strapped with a bomb? How do you stop that? How do you stop them walking into a downtown area where there's innocent mothers and children and individuals that have no idea that they're about to lose their life? It happens in Israel and overseas all the time. I think it was recently in Spain, a train was blown up with innocent people on it. Russia, there was a couple planes that were downed. Terrorists claimed that they were a part of that. And, of course, we saw 9/11 here a few years back here in the United States as they took down the World Trade Center. How do you stop evil? And Satan is evil. And if he is given more and more time, as he sees the end of this age coming, he's going to use that evil more and more, because he does not want to see individuals make it into God's kingdom. In other words, his mentality is the same as this evil. He's not going to be in that kingdom. So his whole goal is not to give you and I or our brothers and sisters around this world that have not been called out yet an opportunity for that. But we know God's plan, and all mankind will get that opportunity with Satan removed. Let's go back to 2 Peter now, the third chapter, and go to verse 3. Second Peter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Mankind has lost the vision. And people ridicule those that look forward to Christ's return. Even the religions of this earth, or this world now, as I was on the internet the other night looking up some statistics, and there's over 40,000 different denominational churches that are out there that claim to be a church. No, they have heaven, purgatory, and hell. They look forward to their resurrection, at their death and being in heaven with the angels and God now. They lost the vision. They don't look forward to Christ's return. They don't understand. And they do not long for the day that we picture today, the Feast of Trumpets. You and I have knowledge that the majority of this world does not have. And we need to make sure that we continue to keep that vision alive in our lives. So let's look at the Bible and where this promise of his coming is. We need to make sure that we keep that vision alive, and we need to make sure that it's secure in our hearts. Let's go to Isaiah. And by no means am I going to be able to cover all the different areas that were prophesied or that is mentioned. But we'll take a few of the spots and look. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now this part of the prophecy has already been fulfilled. Jesus Christ has come, and he has paid the penalty for death, and he is risen and in heaven with God the Father. So he's already been born, and that part of the prophecy has been fulfilled. But the rest of it is yet in the future. It says, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah prophesied that Christ was going to return and that government would be placed on his shoulders, that future kingdom. Let's go to Daniel, the 7th chapter, as the prophet Daniel also foretold the second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel 7 and verse 13. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. The prophets of old in advance also prophesied of the vision that Christ would return. Mr. Imes read in Hebrews about that vision also in the offertory this morning. We see that the ancients of old understood that Christ was going to come back and establish his kingdom on the earth. Jesus Christ here was mentioned in verse 13. It says, one like the Son of Man. And that ties into the New Testament because the New Testament talks a lot about the Son of Man, referring to Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter. And this was right before Christ was born. Luke 1 and verse 30. Then the angel said to her, talking about Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. An angel actually came before the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary and prophesied the future of her small infant that she was going to be impregnated with through the Holy Spirit. And yet, he did not take that kingdom on his shoulders during his lifetime. It was foretelling the time when he would return and establish his kingdom. Let's go to Matthew now, the third chapter. Matthew, the third chapter, in verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is talking. John the Baptist is now talking. He says, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus Christ came, and when he returned to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. And we have access to that now as baptized into the body of Christ. But the Holy Spirit of fire, or the fire, and going on in verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We see that the baptism of fire, and we know it as the second death, the time yet in the future after Christ's return, and those that are incredibly wicked, that do not want to change, that do not want to be a part of his kingdom, will be burned up. They will not be in that kingdom. But it's foretold that he is going to come. Let's go to the 10th chapter now of Matthew. And verse 16. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated above by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Jesus Christ is going to return. Much of the persecution of the first century church has already happened. But yet we expect that to happen yet in the future, as it gets closer to Christ's return. Those that are faithful and follow him will be persecuted. As you look around the world, Christianity is a minority compared to the other religions of the world. And yet, we are a small flock among those. Go to John, the 14th chapter. Christ promised to come back. He promised to come back to this earth. John 14 and verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Christ said that he was going to return. He would not leave us here. He would not leave us a part of this generation. Many will die before Christ's return. Many have already died. But he has promised to return and to raise us from the dead. We need to make sure that we keep that into our minds, that we remind ourselves as we look forward, as the cares of this world continually come upon us and our daily routines, that we keep that vision in our minds. Acts, the first chapter, and verse 9. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into the heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into the heaven.'" Jesus Christ is going to return the same way he left. He was resurrected. He left to go to his Father. The disciples saw him go. It was in plain sight, and they saw him disappear into the clouds. He's going to return that same way. He's going to come down from heaven and establish his kingdom here on this earth. Turn back to Matthew, the 24th chapter again. in this modern day and age, we remember in World War II when General MacArthur left the Philippines and said he would return. And he did. And eventually we overcame the Japanese in the Philippines. Jesus Christ has also told us, and he left over 2,000 years ago, that he was going to return. And he will. Matthew, the 24th chapter, let's go to verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So, I mean, there's going to be some things that happen that might seem to be of God, but they're not going to be of. And some people will be deceived. They will not understand. To see, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For what, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Christ's return is going to be something that all mankind will see. We need to make sure that we're not deceived by somebody being able to do miracles or other events to make it look like they have the power of God and tell us that Christ has returned and that we should follow them and they will show us the way. Because that is not true. When Christ returns, all mankind will see it. Let's go to Revelations, the first chapter. And verse 4. Revelations 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ says he will return. And all mankind, all men's eyes will see him. It's not going to be some hidden event. We need to remember that. We need to keep that as a vision in our mind, that Christ is going to return. Go to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3, verse 1. Then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth, not the daily things that we have going on in our lives that are continually with us, that take our mind away from God. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We were baptized. We gave up our lives to God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ returns, we also will be given the glory. We will become like him, a son of God. You know, even this earth looks forward to Christ's return. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Even the natural elements, as we look around and we see the destruction that earthquakes and volcanoes, and especially now what hurricanes can do. The feast site in Jamaica has already been canceled because the damage that was done to the motel that the church was had leased for that site. And we don't know about Panama City yet, whether there will be a site there or not. It didn't catch the frontal part of it, but there's a lot of wind and rain and flooding and power outages that went along there too, and we'll have to see. But this earth is in disarray. This earth itself is decaying. It has things that are put into motion that happen when certain elements affect each other and create things like hurricanes and earthquakes. It's a part of the creation that is decaying. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. This earth is going to, during the day of the Lord, be shaken. And these events that are happening are all part of the details. It doesn't tell us the direct time, but they're things that happen and that we know are going to happen that lead up to the day of the Lord. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. When Christ returns, this earth is going to have peace and calm. The weather patterns will be changed. The destruction that is caused from the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the other things that happen, the heavy rains, the flooding, the monsoons that happen in different parts of this world, that wash out crops. This will be changed. It will be under Christ's control. And it will be a peaceful world to come. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians now, the 4th chapter. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Our hope lies in the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And many of our brethren have already passed away, and they await in their graves for Christ's return. And there are some of us that also will pass away before Christ's return, unless he comes soon. And that's one of those details we don't know. We just know from the structure and the different things that we've been given that it is going to happen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Jesus Christ is going to return. That is a vision that we need to keep in our minds continually. As the cares of this world creep in and take over, let's not forget to look forward to Christ's return. Even as it is a vision with not all the details to give us the events or all the things that are going to happen exactly as it leads up to it, we've been given enough of the plan of God to understand that it is going to happen and that it is for sure and that Christ will return on this day, the Feast of Trumpets, in the future.